Many people have a desire to enter the world of investing, whether it be through real estate, stocks, or entrepreneurship. However, people often face self-doubt, a limited belief system, or simply a lack of knowledge to put behind their ambition. It's easier than you think to overcome these obstacles if you know exactly what's holding you back. Partner with Andre to forge new neurological pathways that unlock breakthrough strategies for income generation, reshape your belief systems, and construct your desired life. With over 15 years of experience in finance and a decade devoted to teaching wealth preservation, these achievements are no mere coincidence. One thing is clear, if others have done it, you can too. Start your complimentary action plan today at www.andrestewartauthor.com. Welcome to the Investing Uncensored podcast. If you've been searching for ways to break free from the 9-to-5 grind, scale or start your own business, generate passive income, or gain insights from others who have achieved their desired lifestyle, get ready. Prepare to be inspired as we provide you with invaluable tips, resources, and firsthand experiences from Andre and other industry experts who have accomplished remarkable things in their respective fields. This is the Investing Uncensored podcast, your roadmap to success. And now here's your host, Andre Stewart.
Welcome to Investing Uncensored. I'm your host, Andre Stewart. And today I want to talk to you guys about the economy. It's been a while since I had a conversation about the economy. In my opinion, I've had a lot of guests that come on the show and we've kind of dabbled into it here and there. But just me giving my straight up opinion, it's been a little bit because I've had so many guests coming on. But I'm going to say, if you listen to what I said, maybe back in 2021, even 2020, I said that we were going to head into a depression because we've been in a recession. I even said it back then. And at the end of 2019, I did a video and I showed that we were heading into a recession. But then we know what happened in 2020. That kind of like made us have a recession sooner than what we had and recover faster than what we should have because of the government printing money. So we were heading in that direction anyway. But then we end up getting to that point of where we had two consecutive quarters of negative growth. And by definition, that is a recession. But we know what the government came out and said that, no, it doesn't mean that we're in a recession. And then you had all these other experts that try to co-sign on what historically has been the definition of a recession. So it is what it is. So now that we have been in a recession for almost a year and a half, almost 2 years, I think we're going to head into a depression. And the thing that I want to talk about is the student loan. The student loan forgiveness has kind of didn't happen, but we're heading into a situation where the people that had their loans deferred, it's now coming home, man. Like in the next 4 days, anybody that had their student loans in deferral, they have to start paying it. So I was talking to my friend, my cousin, and my cousin's been paying all her debt. She didn't stop paying, even though she had the opportunity to not pay it. But I've had some friends that decided to not pay. And so now that's kicking in. And they're like, man, I got to pay $1,600 a month for my student loans. So if you guys don't know, the government tried to roll out a program to where they basically, I think it was like $15,000 to $20,000 worth of debt that they were trying to get rid of for people that have student loans. And that got overturned by the Supreme Court. So now we're here. 43 million people. Matter of fact, let me pull this up. Okay. So as you can see here, 43 million people. Well, here, girl, let's talk about this real fast. Average student loan debt by age. You can see that it's declining. People are getting a lot wiser and people don't depend on education as much as they used to. So that dream, that ship has sailed. So that American dream about go to school, get a good job and all that stuff, it's obviously at this point in time and where we are with technology and people being able to create content and YouTube and things like that, that's going out the window. People, as you can see, 24 and younger are trying to become influencers or doing other things that are alternative to going to college, getting a degree, and then getting a job. That's the exact opposite of what your degree is, which is basically what majority of these people did. And so you can see there's a shift. And over the past couple of years, you can see there's been a drastic decline in people going to college. Or if they're going to college, they might be going to a community college or not a major institution, or they could be getting money from mommy and daddy. I don't know how it is, but nonetheless, you can see that the cost of tuition is going up, but you can see that people are not paying as much because obviously that means they're not going to college. And if they are, they're not staying the whole 4 years. So let me just scroll down and you can see kind of what I was saying. So outstanding debt, $1.6 trillion. And that's owed by about 43 million borrowers. There's only 330 million people in the entire U.S. 43 million of those people have student loan debt. So if you go off the scenario that I just gave with my friend and my cousin, them having to pay $1,600. So one of my friends is in debt about $175,000. I think my cousin's in debt about, she might have been in debt $200,000. I think she is now under $100,000. But nonetheless, if they were able to defer the payments for 3 years, majority of the people did not stack that cash. Majority of the people spent that money. They did a whole bunch of other things with it. So now that the government stimulus that people got ran out, not to mention, I went to get gas the other day and gas is basically, I don't want to say tripled, but it was a dollar. It's a dollar more. So if you live in LA or California, I think it's up to $7. And if you live in like the South or the Midwest, it's almost $4 to $5. Which is, both of those numbers are astronomical. So if you couple the gas prices going up, the cost of goods of inflation, all of this stuff was already going against the consumer. Now we're going to incorporate another, again, just using my friend and my cousin as an example, $1,600 a month. So you're going to go from having high inflation, which is probably about 18%, and now you're going to just dump a $1,600 payment on somebody. I mean, that's somebody's rent. That could be somebody's mortgage, depending on where you are. If you didn't save money for the 3 years and you spent that money, where in the world are you going to be able to get the money to pay your student loans from? So even if you just increase somebody's debt by, or monthly expenses by $500, where is someone going to get an additional $500 a month from, in addition to gas going up? And so based on what I was looking at, based on what the U.S. has done or what's going on with Saudi Arabia, Saudi Arabia is decreasing the output for the next, I forgot what it is. So by the end of December, the output for the oil is going to be, I don't know, I'm not going to make up any numbers. That's not what I do. But just know there's going to be a huge reduction in the oil supply. And what that's going to do is increase the cost of oil. Because obviously when there's less supply and there's more demand, it's going to increase the price. So that's going to drive the price of oil. I think it's at like $89 or $100 a barrel, to about $150 or even more. So if you see the uptick in gas prices, that's because of what I just said. So we might do another, I would say, a release from the SPR, which again, the last time I checked, it was down to about 40%. So we're running into our strategic petroleum reserves. And once that gets low and we can't produce or pump, or we're not pumping as much oil in the US, what's going to happen with gas prices? So back to what I was saying, if you introduce, and people still got to commute. And now I also see people are being forced to go back to work. So now people not only going to have an increase in gas prices, they have to start going back to work. So now that commute time, all of that stuff, man, is all changing. So your expenses are just going up. Inflation started to turn around. So for the last month or so, we saw a decline in inflation. But that, I think the last CPI reading is going back up. So now you have the cost of things going back up, the cost of gas going up, and now you got people's student loans kicking in, and credit card debt is at an all-time high, the highest ever in history. So if you couple all these things together, I really don't know what people think is going to happen with the economy. And so this is why I keep going back, and I'm giving you guys data. You see it here. I don't know why people don't think that we're going to have an economic collapse, or if you follow the economy, you know that you hear a lot of the economists say, or Jerome Powell say, we're going to have a soft landing. And he just retracted that the other day. So we're not going to have a soft landing. And so they're trying to keep rates higher for longer, which is also going to hurt the economy, because that's another reason why people aren't being able to pay off their credit cards like they were before, because when rates are at like zero, I think credit card interest rates were like 16. Now they're more like 25 to 26%. So that's adding an extra 200, 300 to maybe even 500, depending on how much debt you have on your credit card. So if you add all of these different things in, so add the extra expense of the interest every month. So let's go with that. Let's go with, you just, let's just say $300 a month for your interest, which is probably like a lie, because just due to cost, just look up credit card debt and just anyway, if you look at, let's just use $300. So $300 because of credit card interest. And then you add in, just say a student loan repayment of 500. So now you're at 800. And now you got to add in gas, which is that, you know what I mean? It could be up another, depending on how far you got to drive for your commute. Let's just add another 200 toward that. So whatever you were paying, say you were already paying 300 a month in gas. Now that's 500. So you can see how it's going to add up. Like we're almost at another $2,000 a month in expenses based on you just living your regular life, doing regular things and not even trying to overindulge. So you can kind of see where I'm going, man. Who has the ability out of nowhere to just be able to come up with an additional $2,000 a month just for expenses? So just use my friend for an example. If gas starts to increase and they got to kick in this $1,600 a month starting immediately, if they got to start paying that $1,600 and then gas starts to creep up, and we're doing the four, let's say $400. So now they're at $2,000. That's just for student loan repayment and gas. And so now factor in inflation going back up. So throw another $100 a week on your current grocery bill or whatever you got. So that's another $400 a month. So now you're at almost $2,400 a month in additional expenses that came out of nowhere. If you didn't save the money, because savings are also at an all-time low. If you don't have the savings, there's not going to be another stimulus because the government can't afford it. And you're at $2,400 a month in additional expenses. And this is, again, about 43 million borrowers. So this extreme situation of $1,600 could be my friend's situation. For my cousin's situation, I think she's paying $1,000 a month. So these are just two people that I know out of this 43 million that are paying at least $1,000 a month. That's insane. So I don't know why people are still thinking the economy is running smooth and there's no problems. I'm just giving you guys factual data that you can follow that's showing that we're heading into a situation. But fret not, because guess what? That current administration is rolling out something that people might be able to take advantage of to help with lowering the costs. So they're coming up with something like this, which at first glance, you'll be like, oh my God, they're going to do something else. They're going to give us something. They're going to wipe away student loan debt. They're not doing it. But what they are doing, generally, when you have a student loan, I think you have a repayment period of about 10 to 15 years. With this new plan, it's going to allow you to extend that debt out 20 to 25 years. So ultimately, it's going to decrease your monthly payment because you're being able to extend your debt for a longer time frame. So that brings the payment down. So for example, if you use this and you, there's a calculator on here. If you use this calculator, it shows that you're going to go to about roughly $700 a month. So they're basically trying to cut your monthly payment in half.
Ever wished you had the opportunity to buy a stock like Facebook, Amazon, or Netflix before it went public, or was able to get shares in companies like VC firms and angel investors? Well, here's your chance. Go to investfar.com/invest and reserve a position. For the next 1 to 3 months, InvestFAR is allowed a limited number of low-cost shares be available for friends, family, and its community per SEC regulations before it goes public. Imagine being able to 1,000x or 10,000x your investment, like the top 5%. With exclusive opportunities such as this, positions are limited and the window of time is short. Don't miss your chance. That's INV, as in Victor, ESTFAR.com/invest.
So with them cutting your monthly payment in half, that'll help you out, right? So you'll go from $1,600 to about $700 a month. Even with that, you're down to, so you're at $700 plus the $400 that I said for an additional because of inflation and then with gas. So you're down to about maybe $1,500 a month or $1,300 a month. So still, where are you going to be able to come up with $1,300 from is the question. And if this is the case for a lot of people, I don't know who just can come out of nowhere and generate an extra $1,300 a month. Even if you get a raise, man, a raise is like 0.5%, and that's not going to do anything. And they're not like they're handing out raises because the cost of money is too high. So people aren't being able to go out and borrow money like they used to. So you can kind of see where we're headed in that direction. with consumers and with the collapse of the economy. So, I mean, if you guys have some student loan debt, I think this would be a good thing to look at. If you haven't heard of it, take a look at it. And so if you want to, and like I was explaining to my friend, the thing that you should do is the one catch with this program, and I'm going to go back to what I just said, it's only for a year, and then you have to renew. So you have to renew every year. And so I was like, dude, it's a catch. And the reason why, they're trying to get votes. So if they're like, hey, we're going to put you in this program for a year, but you got to renew every year. One thing they're trying to do, they're trying to get votes, because what's going to happen if the current administration is not reelected, the new party, could be Republican Party, might be like, we're not doing that. So then what happens, right? So then you who knows what that debt payment might balloon up to, or what would that look like? No one knows. But the fact that they're going to issue a loan and do it yearly and make you, you know, keep reapplying, that's concerning to me. So anybody that has a car or a mortgage or any kind of loan, they're not like, hey, come back in a year and we're going to look at this and change some of the terms on your car payment. It doesn't happen like that. Generally, when you do a loan, that's it. You locked in. That's your rate. Unless you do a refinance, you can't just be like, reapply for your car loan in a year or reapply for your mortgage loan in a year. Every year you got to reapply. That does not make any sense to me. So like I was explaining, I think they're trying to use this as a way to get votes, as a loophole. They're going to get the people to buy in, and then they're going to be like, you know what we did for the American people? We did this for student loans. We did this. And then what's going to play out if they don't get reelected 2 years from now, when that gets yanked from people and they got to figure it out? It's probably going to be a bigger crisis. So I don't know. So I was like, man, don't do that. I said, you can look around for other debt consolidation programs and see what they have and see if you can get locked into a long-term rate, but don't or long-term situation. But I don't know if I would do that. And if I do this for a year, maybe do it for a year because the rate's like 6%. And so when the rate starts to decline in the next 2 years, you can just refinance out with somebody else, maybe a credit union or something like that, and then get your debt refinanced and get a lower rate, because it'll go from like a 6 to maybe a 3. So your lower payment, you'll get a lower payment. So I was like, if you want to use the government like they use everybody else, hey, why not? Take advantage of the program for a year, but make sure you have another plan in place. And throughout this entire time, figure out how to generate more income using your skill set, because you have a low payment. So if you were projected to pay $1,600 a month and now you're paying $700, maybe pay $300 because you're applying that extra $300 straight to the principal, which is going to pay that loan down faster. Don't be like, you know what, I'm going to pay on this for the next 25 years and pay an additional $80,000 in interest payments. Like, get a lower payment, and with that lower payment, pay extra to pay the loan down faster. Instead of just, because I mean, when you make a loan payment, say the loan payment is $718 and you're paying probably maybe $350 to $400 toward the principal, and then the other $200 is going, or $300 is going to interest. So it's not really in your best interest to do that. It's if, especially if you're trying to pay a loan down. So get your loan payment as low as possible and then make additional payments. So I gave the example of my car. My car payment was like $800 a month. I'll refinance it down to $400 and just continue to pay $800, and I paid my car off almost 2 years faster. Then I did a lump sum at one point in time to knock it out. That's kind of what I was explaining to do. So in this scenario, hey, if the government wants to do this to get votes, take advantage of it, right? Take advantage of it, do it, get locked in for a year so you can get a lower payment and figure out how to increase your income in that time frame, get a new job, develop a skill set, and then when it's time to refinance that debt out, hopefully look, rates are lower and by the end of next year, or by the time this thing makes you reapply, and then you do something else, go to a credit union or whatever you got to do, but take advantage. But I'm just saying, like, if you see what's going on, anytime the government is throwing money at something, it's two things. They don't want to do it, or they're trying to figure out how to use that to their advantage. And this is one of those cases where they're trying to use it to their advantage. And so, man, I'm just hopping on here again, to give you guys, I'm bringing it forward. I haven't talked about what I think was going to happen in the economy. I think I touched on it briefly in a podcast I did by myself about 3 weeks ago, but I haven't dove into it like I'm doing now, like I used to do in the beginning, just because, you know, I mean, I want to get different perspectives from different people and bring different experts that's going to help you guys generate more income, which is the ultimate goal, get you out of the rat race, and then show you how to be an entrepreneur if that's something you want to do. But overall, my goal is to just help you guys increase your passive income and just generate more money. So me bringing an expert is what I'm trying to do with that. But every now and then, I got to dive into what I think is going on in the economy and what you guys need to be on the lookout for. And I think this is going to be, and you might hear people say black swan event or something that's going to be a catalyst. To me, this is going to be a catalyst because, like I said, you got 43 million people who potentially are going to have an increase in expenses of like, you know, $450 to $500. That's crazy. In addition to whatever they got going on with inflation and gas prices. So that's why I think this is going to be what it is that takes people or takes the economy overboard. If you guys remember on the last video I did, I showed the U.S. debt clock. And U.S. debt clock, here we go. We up a trillion. I think we were at 32 on that last clock that I showed. And so we're at 33. And so I think we were at revenue per citizen. It was $13,555. Now we're at $12,979. And I think this was a little bit lower too. It might have been at $250,000 or $253,000, but now we're at $255,000. So you can just see, man, like it's not getting any better. It's not. So, you know, if for people that didn't see that last video, the U.S. national debt is $33 trillion and we're only bringing in $27 trillion. That's a $6 trillion deficit. And every year, I mean, this is the tax revenue. So this is federal and this is state. And people aren't working and capital gains taxes are higher. People aren't selling houses because interest rates are so high. So if businesses are, and there's more bankruptcies now than there has ever been, even in the last 2008 collapse. So if you couple all of these things that I'm saying with this data, they're not going to be able to get the tax revenue. Manufacturing is down. Importing is down. There's so many different things that are down. And so we're trending. You got to follow the trends, man. And so we're trending in a bad direction. So I don't know, guys, like, you know, what are you guys doing out there to make your situation better? Is kind of what I was explaining to my friend. Like, you got to do something different. You can't do what you were doing before because it's a different scenario. And they're not going to, they don't have the ability to issue any more stimulus. And if they do, this is going to take this number up even higher. So it's going to just be forever. So just let's use a current example of the student loan debt. So if you went to $1,600 in expenses, you already were paying like $3,000 for rent. Now you're at $4,600. And now you got an extra $400 for the inflation in the gas. So let's just do $4,000 or $4,500. And you're only bringing in $3,700 a month or $3,500 a month. You're at a $1,000 deficit. How long can you run that deficit before something either doesn't get paid and you default, your car gets repoed, you get evicted, something happens. And that's the same thing. That's our scenario. We don't bring in enough money to service our own debt. So something has to give. And even if they print more money to give us more money, that's just going to make the dollar value drop even more. So everything's going to get even more expensive if they try to help us out and stimulate the economy by giving us more stimulus or dropping rates. It's just going to exasperate the situation even more. So it doesn't matter what they do. We're in a doom loop. And it's like, I'm not a doom and gloomer. I'm just, look at it. Look what I'm saying. So if they keep doing what they're doing, it has no other scenario for an ending but what I just said. We can't, it's like you trying to go out and get a $3,000 raise from your boss overnight. You would have to basically go get a new job somewhere and pray that you get a 30% increase to compensate or help you alleviate some of this debt, which would be great. But the U.S. can't go out here and get another job. We can't go out here and just be like, hey, let me apply for Germany. It's over, man. It's over. So guys, do what you can. Figure out what you can do on your end, because there's nothing that they can do for us at this point in time. So as long as you understand that, you can fix your situation, right? There's still 330 million, 35 million people. This is not everybody's scenario, right? It's not. And people listen to this podcast, I hope it's not their scenario. Or if it is, you're trying to figure out how to get out of that. So I don't know, man. It's very concerning, in my opinion. I don't think it's that bad if you know what you're doing, right? the average, this is the average, but you can be in the 10%. You know what I mean? You don't have to be average. And that's the goal of the podcast, is to help people not be average. So you don't got to be in this equation if you don't want to be. You can help people out in this equation. And that's kind of what we do when it's going to be a time where there's going to be distress in the real estate market or just in the stock market. And if you're in a position to be able to take advantage of that, you're going to be helping somebody out that's in this average that you see on the screen. So guys, I just really want to hop on here again and drive home what I'm seeing and the data that's out there that supports the things that I said a couple of years ago. Everything that I said a couple of years ago has came to pass. All of it, with the decrease in prices, with the cost of food going up. I said there's going to be a World War III. We've been at war. And the situation in Taiwan with China right now doing these crazy exercises, and their exercises are increasing. There's probably going to be something that pops off in Taiwan in the next couple of weeks, or maybe even a couple of months. So if that goes down, we know what's going on in the Ukraine, and we are going to help Taiwan because of the relationship that we have, and we don't want that. So we're going to, that's what the U.S. does. We just meddle in people's business. If we step in when China's trying to do something with a territory that's theirs, just like we did with the Ukraine, it's going to be a bad situation. So we're going to end up being in a World War III, in my opinion. They might not categorize it as that, just like they're not categorizing us as in a recession, but that's what it is, man. If you look at the data and you look at see what's going on, that's what it is. So just because they're not calling it what it is, I'm going to call it what it is. And so we'll probably end up having a World War III if that situation in Taiwan keeps going the way it does. So back to what I was saying, everything that I've kind of said is taking place. Again, I'ma say it, go back to 2021. Go back to even 2020. That's kind of when I started giving my predictions, because the writing was on the wall and history doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes. And so we're in that point now. It's starting to rhyme and it's starting to shape up like I thought it was. And that's not going to be good, because we're in the very beginning. And if it goes the way I think it's going, and the numbers that I see, like I said back then, the data back then was matching the data from the 1930 depression. It's very similar. And even right now, the more recent data that's current is even more accurate to what happened in the 1930 depression. So see what I'm saying? Take advantage of the repayment plan that the government is giving. Figure out your situation, and see you on the next episode. Take care.